Seja com seu.
You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Looky what we got here.
I'm not quite sure what we've got here. I'm trying to remember it, but it wasn't much there.
The only thing I can remember is that Jeffrey Dean Morgan is the head of this movie. You know, he's the headliner. So I wish he was doing more Negan stuff. Although, I'm kind of glad he's not at the same time, because he needs to show off that he can do more than just Walking Dead.
Yeah, you know, I've liked Jeffrey Dean Morgan for a while, at least since, like, The Watchmen, which is where I first think I really noticed him. And he can be really good. And he's not even the problem with this movie. But God damn it, he can't hold it up.
Well, so here's the thing. This movie, The Postcard Killings, which is based on the book The Postcard Killers, which I'm not sure why they renamed it. But
I think I get it, because there's supposed to be that period where you're guessing more if you think it's just one killer and they try to keep you in the dark for a little bit.
Yeah, but this one, it's an adaptation of a book written by James Patterson and Lisa Markland. If I remember correctly, I heard that this book was actually pretty well regarded, you know, in terms of its reception outside.
I think it is. My mother's actually a big James Patterson fan, and I've read some because he is a good mystery writer. And even she's like, look, some of his stuff just gets kind of overly dark and brutal, which I guess some of the killings here are. But she's like, no, I didn't read this one. I wasn't that interested in it. And I kind of get why now.
Yeah, he kind of, I don't know, I always think of James Patterson as, like, airport novels, even though I know he doesn't just do that kind of trashy stuff, but, you know, it's that stuff when you look at a shelf, like, for, like, an airport book section, it's like, oh yeah, James Patterson novels will have, like, their own role for them.
Yeah, again, he's, like, he's legitimately, like, when my mom's reading them, I'm like, you know, it kind of just makes sense. He's kind of like that mom mystery novelist. Like, his books are really easy to get to, they're not poorly written, but they are kind of trashy sometimes.
Yeah, and the guy who directed this movie, I have not seen a single one of his films. He's actually a Bosnian director, which is kind of cool. His name is Denis Stanovic. The last thing he did, or some of the most recent stuff, he did this film No Man's Land back in 2001. And nothing else that I could... I don't know any of these films.
I was going to say, I've heard of No Man's Land, but I haven't seen it. It's not, like, super well-regarded, but it's not, you know, a hated film or anything.
It's kind of decent. It won the Oscar back in the day.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, but it's one of those ones that won the Oscar that a lot of people are like, yeah, but it's not one I'm revisiting.
Yeah, which, hey, you know, maybe I'll have to go watch this one to see what are the great directing skills. Because, you know, I can't pinpoint what it is about this movie where I feel when I watch this movie and when I finished it and all, I just had this feeling of, well, I watched a movie. Now, I wasn't angry, I wasn't excited, I wasn't disappointed. I just, like, that was a thing that happened and it took an hour and 40 minutes to watch.
You know, despite being kind of gruesome, at least in the way the killings occurred or were left, this really does feel as boring as, you know, a book you see at the airport.
Yeah, and for people, just to explain the plot, it follows the main character here played by Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who's, I guess he's a retired detective, right?
I don't know. They never really say it. But
they seem to indicate that he's like a former detective and that kind of such. But he gets caught up in a situation where his daughter is murdered while she's on a honeymoon. And it turns out that there's some other killings that are very similar in their weird, stylized approach that it leads to believe, oh, this is the work of a serial killer. So he decides to do, you know, the upright citizen thing to go on the investigation himself and get revenge for his daughter.
Well, it's more than just that. It's also he wants to take his daughter home and they won't release the body till the killer's found. And he's like... okay, well, then I'm going to solve this case. And like, no, you can't. You're too close. He's like, then give me my goddamn daughter. You have a choice. Like, let me. You don't want me to do this, but you don't want to give me my kid. Here's your options.
Yeah, so he's a one-man army when it comes to this case, even though he does team up with a few other people. But honestly, I found that none of the other supporting characters really mattered at all in the long run. Like, they help push things forward, but you don't care at all about anyone but Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Not really. Like, he's married to Famke, or divorced from Famke Jensen's character in this movie.
Famke Jensen, whose job in movies is to be the divorced former partner of the main character.
Look.
That seems to be, like, her most common role. Taken, this movie.
I was gonna say, look, I mean, I hate to be that guy, but Famke Jensen looks so much like that divorced woman who's like, I'm taking control of my life now. She gets that look perfectly.
And she's a much better actress than that, but most people just, they don't know what to do with Famke Jensen anymore. Well,
and they don't do her in this movie. Like, you know, when she first shows up, they don't even make it clear that they're divorced. Like, she, it just looks like he went without her and now she's pissed type of thing. And then, like, they progress to it. But then, like, they're still kind of, like, semi-flirting, okay couple type of thing when they're talking on the phone. And she basically just shows up for a little bit of the American Sign investigation. I'd like to think the character does more in the novel, but it's kind of almost useless here.
Yeah, honestly, because there's the other woman that joins in the investigation, that reporter, where you honestly could have redirected all that stuff to her character and given her more to do, or cut her out and give Famke Jensen more to do, you know?
Right.
It felt like it just divided attention. It just made a very cluttered ensemble cast for a story that really didn't need this many characters and honestly didn't have anything really original or new to say.
Because
once you find out what's going on with the plot, like, first of all, it follows all the tropes. Like, literally, like, you mentioned offhand, it's like, yeah, it's maybe slightly better than The Snowman, but it does, like, all the same plot points and tropes of stories like The Snowman.
No, exactly. And, like, I still haven't watched all of The Snowman. I read the book, and I was like...
It's impossible to stay awake during
that's what I'm
movie.
Saying is, like, I read the book, and I'm like, this book's okay. And then I read more of the books, and I'm like, oh, all these books are written the same way. This isn't a great writer. And then somehow the movie made that worse, which I think is kind of the case here. As we said, he's kind of, like... He's not like a dime store novelist, but he's that guy who's very much a populist type of novelist. Or
well, he's like Stephen King, where he just pumps out new books like twice a year or even more. You're just like, dude, maybe your books would be better if you just crafted them and spent some time on
them. Yeah, and as I said, I've read one or two, and they're not terrible. And this movie's not terrible either, but
no.
They didn't adapt how a novel works to be any quicker or more interesting for a movie, which you have to do. You have to understand a novel is something you're supposed to read. Even some of his smaller novels are like, yeah, you read this over, like, you know, at least like an 8 hour to 10 hour period. And it's, they, while they compress that down, it's an hour and 44 minute movie that doesn't feel like it moves at a pace. It just meanders a lot of the time.
Yeah. And it's like, it's weird because it is focused, like everyone's focused on solving the case, but they'll just, yeah, like you said, they have these weird deviations that feel like they're not really all that important to the plot, where they meet with other people and it's like, oh, by the way, this is why they're related in this way, but it didn't really matter at all to the story kind of thing.
Exactly.
I don't know. I struggle to find reasons to think about this movie other than I will say a couple things that were fine about this. I hinted at it before, but I actually think Jeffrey Dean Morgan is doing as good a job as he could with the character and the material here.
I think he's actually doing quite good because this is a pretty well-rounded character. You know, he's a guy who's driven. He's definitely heartbroken over his daughter, but, you know, he's got a sense of humor about things at times, even in, like, this darkest of moments. He's a very good detective, and, like, even though he can be a little bit pompous about it, he's right a lot of the time, but it doesn't feel like he's always right. Like, it's just enough on the line that I appreciate it. He's a really good actor.
Like, this actually shows off, like, some range for him, and I kind of appreciated that. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, the other thing I wanted to bring up, though, is I will say we're both kind of harping on Patterson. It is the co-op between him and Liza Marklund, who I don't know. I had to look her up, and she's a Swedish crime novelist.
Well, that's why all this takes place in Scandinavia.
Right.
So.
And I do like Swedish crime normally. I just don't know any of her work. And if this is partially on her as well for the parts of it that don't really work, that are drier. But it's like, yeah, you know, maybe it's because it's not just one style. And that's why it doesn't feel like it stays in a lane in a bad way.
Yeah. No, even looking at the other stuff she's written, you know, she seems to specialize in these kind of stories just like Patterson. And from, I think I heard from Chris and Harris, because they covered this on Breakfast Pub, that this was a story that he never actually got to finish properly. And he read some of Liza Marklund's books and said, oh, I think you would love this story. I never actually got to finish it. I think you would do some good stuff with this. So it is kind of what you said, though. It's just, it's a fusion. And I can't even tell you where one person's influence ends and one's begins. You're just like, it's just bland. And that's the biggest sin of this movie, is that it's bland. Not terribly bland, just bland. You just really could not care less about what goes on in the movie, other than a very clinical, like, well, it's well shot, it's well edited, it's, you know, decently made as a movie.
I think it's one that you're trying to rely almost solely on Jeffrey Dean Morgan when you're also showing all these other characters. Like, they show a duo, which you also find that you're following the killers, and they're not even that interesting.
They're not menacing at all.
No, and you know? Honestly, I looked them both up, and I don't want to be like disparaging because I haven't seen most of their other work, but they've been in a few things. It's Naomi Patrick and Rhaerie O'Connor. I'm not even gonna claim I knew what I was saying there, but both of them, it's like anything they've been in that's notable are things that have not done well, and I'm not blaming them for them exclusively, but it kind of shows that this is the thing that they show up in next. It's like, you're not the leads even in this, so clearly they just were like, look, you're passable and you're European, we can use you.
Yeah, I think the next thing they're doing is the third Conjuring movie, and that's about as big as their IMDb list looks like. At least, what's his name? O'Connor is going to be in that one.
Again, I'm not trying to be disparaging to them on that. I don't think they're terrible. It's just, again, they don't, you know, jump off the screen, and they're also not given any way to jump off the screen, even if they were better actors. So I don't think it's on them necessarily, but it's just, I haven't read the novel. We don't have the synopsis of the novel because even Wikipedia didn't have that. But I can only assume that it's pretty close from what Wikipedia gives us.
Yeah, and there's some other good actors who I know I've seen in other movies that were really good, and they're just kind of just there. Like Joaquin Kroll, who I believe was in Run, Lola, Run as the dad in that movie.
I think it was he's the one dad.
He was the German inspector in this one, I think.
Yes.
And you're just like, he's just kind of there. And also the same with the British inspector, the British detective that they're talking to at the beginning.
Yeah, Dylan, that guy's actually Smith.
Trying.
Yeah, I recognize that guy, and I liked him, and then he's barely in the movie.
Yeah, no, he disappears for a long period of time. You're just like, well, okay, that's a waste of the time, that one.
The reporter he's dealing with, played by Cush Jumbo, she's a good actress. And she's not bad in this movie either, but her character also floats in and out of the movie where
she only gets a couple scenes to really show off at all.
It really makes you, I think that's the other issue with this movie, is characters kind of float in and out, and even though they're changing location and they do tell you, it almost just is constantly changing location to where you don't bother to keep up with it. Like, it's what,
yeah, because they travel to Spain, they travel to England, they go to America, they go to a bunch of places. And it all looks the same anyways because it's all shot with that clinical gray look throughout it, you know?
Yeah, it's very much like, you know, it's like where people are complaining about, I think it was in Force Awakens, one of the Star Wars movies where they're just like, look, we went to like six planets in the first 15 minutes. I don't know what the hell is happening.
Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's so many other things with that one, but yeah, no.
Oh, that's the least of its movie's problems.
Exactly. And that's kind of the issue here. And also, along with the clinical look, they try to throw in some style, quote unquote, with there's a occasional distortion effect where it's like, you know.
It looks so cheap.
It looks like somebody got their first time in like Adobe Premiere or Final Cut and said, hey, look at this cool effect I can put on it to make it feel kind of more edgy and like real film or real video.
Yeah, it looks like CSI when they do those cutaways to flashbacks and they have those like distorted, like, you know, strobe effect look to it.
Oh my God, like, that is exactly what it is.
Yeah, because they even do like the crash zooms at one point where they do like it almost like a Wes Anderson shot where they do a zoom in on death on the middle of the map there. You're like, okay, that was odd.
And I do have to say, like, the other thing is, I'm not going to spoil the twist because, again, I think some people might like this. I just don't think it's a great movie or something I'd recommend. But it's like, even that end twist, I'm like, this almost feels played out. I mean, it's a decade-old story here, but even still, it's like, look, this was kind of weak.
Yeah, like, there's a couple twists that happen. All of them, I'm like, well, it's not even so much that I didn't see it coming. It's not convincing at all, so I don't really care.
Also, that you know? Final scene, quote-unquote, twist, I was like, are you trying to set up something else? Because please don't.
See, I actually had an extra star rating for this film, and then that twist ending, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to rub that star off right there, because that was just so... Because not only was it a crowbarred ending, it was an ending that literally could have been avoided if they did one thing different in the movie. Like, you know, if they had not done this thing that the characters... you know, pretty much there was no reason why that thing should have happened in the first place. And then they do it just to set up for a sequel bait. And you're like, ugh.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, according to Wikipedia, this was originally being directed by Janusz Kaminski.
Who did Wait, the cinematographer?
Yeah, he was hired to direct it.
No way! I'm curious to see how he would have done it.
Yeah, but he passed on it, and it was going to star Patrick Dempsey in the lead role, which I think they did better here.
I think this is a much better choice.
And then I think Dakota Fanning was going to be playing the female killer, which would have been so much better.
Yeah, actually, no, I could see that better. She has a little bit more screen presence than this girl.
Exactly. And then Desi, played by Cush Jumbo, would be played by Britt Robertson. I think it's about on the line there.
Yeah. No, it sounds like this was a troubled production, which isn't the first time that's happened, including The Snowman, which was the biggest problem with that movie, was that the behind the scenes was such a mess with that movie, and that's why it turned out to be so awful.
Exactly. Overall, I think we've kind of covered most for this movie, just because I don't know where else we can go with talking about it. Like, we've been talking really disparagingly. I think it's adequately shot. I think that the acting in general is solid, with Jeffrey Dean Morgan as a standout. And
the actual filmmaking and the actual acting is not the problem with this movie. It's just pacing and dialogue writing, for the most part.
Well, the writer isn't really exactly known for anything either. Not Patterson, but the actual writer, Andrew Stern.
Yeah.
He did a 2000 movie, Return to Me, which I vaguely remember coming out, and it wasn't very good. And that's about all he's done. Like, I don't know these other ones. They're that...
Disconnect, I think I heard something once about that. But yeah, now I have never seen anything he's written other than this, so...
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing is, like, I feel like it's kind of him. He didn't adapt this novel well into a movie. You know, maybe there's still some blame there for this director still making 144 minutes, but I got
it. Well, because the problem there is that it's just such a dour tone throughout most of it that, you know, which is expected from a lot of these kind of Eastern European and such filmmakers.
Sure.
But there's no levity whatsoever in this movie, and when they try, it really just doesn't work very well.
It hits once or twice, yeah. It's basically, like, I think, I have to imagine the script was at least a two-hour script on the page. And he maybe shortened it to an hour 44 minutes, but somebody really should just gone back and said, hey, can you rewrite this? It can't be more than an hour and a half. And even that could have saved a little bit more for this, where it moved a bit better. But there's just so many scenes of, like, lingering with the other couple that doesn't feel as tense as they want it to be.
No, I was never in suspense with those sequences.
Like, you're more just trying to figure out who they are, which is interesting for some parts of it. But then it just keeps happening.
Well, because that's the thing, is that it's a lot of people talking. And that can work in a lot of these movies. But it's all very monotone. It's very dry. And other than Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Famken Jensen, like we said, nobody really has screen presence. Because, like, then there's that whole thing with the other news reporter, the other blonde lady who's working with the other officers and the such.
Yeah.
And I totally forgot they were in the movie at certain points. So I'm just like, oh, yeah.
I will also say there's a scene where Famken Jensen breaks into a house. And that whole scene could have been dropped from this movie, saved a lot of time, and been just fine. I mean, I would miss having Famke Jensen in as much as she is, but that scene adds nothing. And that's one of those first things. I'm like, this could have been dropped and just moved forward to that next scene that they have with her in it that would have told basically the same story.
Well, because also they establish a thing with tension in that and then immediately resolve it. Like, literally, like, they do a thing, they're like, oh, something's going to happen. Nope, just kidding. And then it's done. There's literally no suspense in that sequence after that. So
God, yeah, that's kind of this whole movie.
Yeah, and again, I feel bad because it's not a bad movie. It's just a very disappointing one. You know, it could have been more if somebody with a little bit more energy could have directed this film. And it doesn't even need to be, like, action-packed or, you know, like, you know, guns shooting everywhere. It's just, it needed more of a drive, and it needed people who can actually carry a film better.
Exactly.
On the whole. So, yeah, I think that's all I got to say about this one. So I will start first with a final thought. Just saying, I will only say that I liked this a little bit better than one other movie I saw this week, which was Spencer Confidential on Netflix.
Oh, God.
Because the problem with that movie is the complete opposite, where it's a chaotic mess. And you're just like, I can't invest myself in any way, shape, or form with what's happening in this story. It's just so goofy. This one had the opposite problem, where it's so dry and dour that you're starting to fall asleep watching certain sequences. So, but it's much better made and it's much better acted. So I'm going to give this, 5 out of 10 reasons why serial killers need to become artists, essentially, with all their killings.
Yeah.
That's such a trope now, where everyone's like, oh, see, I arranged the bodies to represent this classic painting from Goya. I'm just like, okay.
I mean, that was one of the things that was kind of cool seeing about, like, Snowman was, like the snowman showing up everywhere, and some of that same writer stuff is, like, there's some interesting, like, you know, killers' ticks or killers' calling cards things. And the ones here, they're, you know, in concept really interesting, but the biggest issue, I think, with that part of this movie is this movie shies away from it so much.
Like, yeah, when you say that your mom's disturbed by stuff in here, this was fairly tame when it came to the actual killings and the murders and the such.
Well, she didn't say she's disturbed by it, but it was more that, because she didn't read it, but it was more that Patterson does have some where he goes really dark and disturbing.
Oh, okay.
And there is stuff here that could be. I don't know how it is in the book. The problem is this movie barely shows you it. It shows you, like, you know, like the most, like, cheap, you know, mannequin way version of it. And when, you know, when they do, and I'd like them to show you all of it, show you more of it, to commit, try to be a dark as the movie tries to claim it is, to get to those.
Yeah, and they don't need to relish in the gore. They just need to make the impact more impactful, because you just see it, you're like, all right, it's two dead bodies on a bed, and their mouths are sewn together. Okay.
But they don't show you how the art is representing the art for the most part. They're like, well, yeah, this is this one with, you know, where he's testing Jesus coming back from the dead. It's like, cool, you just barely showed us the hand and the chest. I wouldn't have put that together because I didn't see the scene. Maybe I could have, you know, put together something. You know, they tried to, in the end credits, before they get to the main credits, do, like, you know, a super close-up of them, of supposedly the killers making these scenes and writing the postcards. Give me some of that in the movie. It would have actually made it move a little bit if we had that, you know, where we didn't see the killer's face, but we saw them constructing their scene or writing their menacing postcards. I would have been down for that.
No, seriously, they try to do a big whole red herring thing, too, and you're just like, no, it's obvious that's not how it's going to pan out. Don't worry. We know, movie.
That's kind of the most I can muster for this, because, yeah, it gets to the final action scene, and it literally is like the final action scene that you picture in a cheap novel that's had no action, where it's like, suddenly, big action, and then the hero has to chase them down the highway and get there at the last second. It's like, cool, but we've not seen any action this whole way through. We have no reason to assume our main character is going to be, you know, competent in an action scene, because as far as we've seen, he's a retired detective who doesn't touch a weapon and, you know, is just a really good investigator. Like, you feel no commitment or trust for anything they try to challenge you with, and it's just disappointing. You know, I had high hopes for Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Patterson, you know, just from, you know, history with them, and I had high hopes for this movie because I do love a good, you know, European or Nordic, Scandinavian style mystery or crime movie. You don't get that here. You get the driest version of a Scandinavian crime story, and it's just kind of boring. I kind of hated it more for that.
This is definitely a laundry movie. Like, you can literally watch anything. You can watch anything and just do your laundry in the back, you know, while you're doing it in the background, kind of thing.
Exactly. So I'm gonna give it 4.5 paintings that somebody evidently paid attention to in art school out of 10.
Even when they explain how that stuff's connected, you're just like, okay, I guess they needed something to make this more interesting. So,
yeah, you know, it's like, and then at the end they're like, well, you know, it was motivated by this childhood trauma. I'm like, cool, you also buried that till the second half of your overlong movie. I forgot that already.
Yeah.